The Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we want to lift our voice up, just praise you and what you have done for us, not what you are, God. We don't have the words, even though we had 10,000 words, they are not enough to praise you. Oh God, this morning, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we want to be with the wisdom and grace, the power from above. As I preach your word, as these dear people receive the word of God in their heart, oh Holy Spirit, as working on their heart, inspire them, the Lord. Your will might be done. And we bear the fruits of the righteousness, then we might glorify your name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. During the Civil War in the United States, President Abraham Lincoln would occasionally visit a church on Wednesday night services. He would be tired, and sometimes he would be down, and he wanted to be refreshed by worshiping God. So when he went to church, he would enter the service right before the service started, because he did not want to bother anyone. Then also, after service, he would wait until everybody was gone before leaving. He did not want other worshippers to be bothered by his being there. So one night after service, while he was waiting for everybody to leave, his aide asked a question to the president. Wasn't it a wonderful message? Wasn't it great, Mr. President, that his sermon had the right introduction, right main body, and also good conclusion. Everything was said logically, and his speech was so eloquent. But the president thought differently. He said, a great sermon requires great dedication or consecration. Even though this pastor preached logically and eloquently, but I didn't think it was a great sermon because he did not demand any consecration. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, an apostle Paul was speaking to the Corinthians who were in Rome. He wrote them about the reasonable service. In order for you to render reasonable service to God, you need to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. The Bible says you need to consecrate yourself before you give any reasonable service to God. The Christian life demands a real consecration. When Apostle Paul met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, the very first words he said to the Lord were, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then he submitted himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes when the gospel is mispresented, people think they are doing a favor to the Lord when they serve him. With this kind of attitude, how can they say they are dedicating themselves to him? Even a king has to come dethroned before the Lord, take off his crown, and lay it at his feet. We are saved through his grace, his mercy, and his love. Can you lay everything down before him and confess he's your Lord? Let me tell you about the two motivations for consecrations. The First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? You eat not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. First, the scripture says, you are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. The Corinthian believers understand exactly what Paul was talking about. Under the Roman Empire, there was a slave system, as you know. Oftentimes, slaves are put on auction at the marketplaces. The one who buys a slave becomes his lord, and he has absolute rights over his slave, and conversely, the slave gives his absolute submission to his new lord. We are not our own. We are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So when we give ourselves to God, actually we are not giving away what belongs to us. Rather, we are giving his things back to him. Let me illustrate my point. One of my church members, he bought a house. He paid for it. The ownership registration was done at the court. The house now belonged to him. But the one who sold him, the house could not move out because his plans didn't work out. New owners could have forced them to move out immediately, but he kindly waited until they yielded to him. So our dedication and our surrender are really that we are yielding ourselves back to him. We are not only giving back something which already belongs to him, who is our owner and our Lord. We can say this is the judicial motivation, because we are doing what is only right and just, reasonable. Second motivation, so we may say, is the emotional motivations. The love of for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. When somebody loves you, you respond with loving that person back. Our Lord Jesus Christ loved us. He gave his life for us. John 13 says, greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. So his love constrained us to give ourselves to him. The original Greek word for constrain is zuneko. This word means you cannot help but do it. Let me illustrate this with a personal story. Before my marriage, I prayed for wife for 5 years. You believe it or not? I asked the Lord, Lord, I want to marry a girl who is saved under my ministry. Then also someone who would dedicate herself to the Lord and to be a preacher's wife. One day, the brother Baskin, Dr. Baskin, who recommended to the Lord and trained me, he and I, we went to have a street meeting with our church Sunday school teachers. That afternoon, young lady came out of curiosity to hear me as I preach on the street. And Brother Baskin invited her to come to our church, so she started attending our church. It took about a month before she accepted Christ as Savior. That young lady grew in the Lord, and she began to participate in the ministry as a Sunday school teacher and choir member. One day, we need one volunteer teacher for junior high school in the remote area, 38th parallel, very close to the DMZ, called Tongpeli. She was the first one who volunteered to go there. Well, I began to believe that she might be the right one for me. So one day, I asked her to go with me to some place. Actually, it was a date. Then I gave her a scripture from the Song of Solomon. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. After I gave that scripture to her, then I told her, I believe it's God's will for me to marry you. I thought I did it very romantic way. But she replied, no. So I then said to her, if that is not God's will, then I don't want to either. So I told her to go in peace. Well, next day was a Friday. And we had our college and career class meeting at the night. A veteran missionary, Dr. F.C. Lassiter, he preached that evening, and I interpreted for him. He wrote a message on surrender. Well, as he finished the message, he gave an illustration of a heaven-bound train. He said that there is one engine that pulls the train toward the heaven. And there are the passenger cars where people enjoy wonderful fellowship with other Christians. in their caboose. Dr. Lester stated that some Christians are goodbye to the world to live separate life in the passenger cars on their way to the heaven. But other Christians decided to become a fuel for the train in burning them for the Lord. I noticed that she was crying. Then I got excited. So I added a little more. And preached harder. Well, invitation was given. She came forward. She said that she wanted to be a preacher's wife. And I was the only single preacher in that church. So that night, we are engaged. The news had spread, and even before, we had talked to our parents. So my father was very upset, and he opposed the engagement. After much prayer, around 3 o'clock in the morning next day, I knocked on the door, his door. He was not asleep either. I called Father. He answered, "What is it?" I told him, "I love her. What can I do but marry her?" Love constrain us. The love of Christ constrain us. Here is another illustration. I have a man working with me, a wonderful Christian at our church as an assistant. He's in charge of the couples that are in their 30s. God blessed him and his wife and gave them a son. Then they are given another blessing and welcome the birth of their baby girl. They loved their daughter. When she was just 5 months old, they found out that she had a cancer of liver. The doctor said that there is no way for her to live without a liver transplant. Her father decided to give a part of his liver because of his love for his daughter. As you might have guessed, this was a decision to risk his own life as well. The love constrains him to do that. Transplant operation was done, and of course, the church took a special offering that the family and their nieces. We are all grateful when we heard that the surgery was successful. The little girl's mother said to me, I was there, "Pastor, it will be easier for me to tell Eugene what God's love is later when she grows up." You cannot help but do something for someone if you love that person. The Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of Christ only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. I remember when the Lord called me to be a preacher. I said to him, "Here I am, Lord. Take me, break me, make me and use me." When I prayed this prayer, at that time, I didn't realize what break me. But now I can, you know, when my mind go back to things, I went through the deep valleys, but all things work together for good. When the love of God comes rains to me, this was how I confessed and yield myself to Him. Anyways, to make a long story short, if you experience love, you do something responding to the love with the love. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave His life for us. The love constrained us to give our love to Him. That is our emotional motivation for our consecrations. So, what exactly is consecration? The Korean dictionary says consecration means one endeavors to give his heart and body sacrificially beyond one's benefits. Consecration of myself to Lord Jesus Christ means, because of His love, because of His Lordship, I accept any position where God places me in serving Him. I, who receive the Lord and who belong to Him, must separate everything to Him in order to serve Him and surrender all to Him. So my two hands, two feet, my mouth, my ears, they all belong to the Lord. He can use them for His glory's sake. My two hands for His work. My two feet to lead me His way. My mouth to praise Him, to preach His word. And my ears to hear His voice. I'm willing to say that all of me belong to You, Lord. When we go back to the Old Testament, we find out the story of Aaron and his sons. Exodus chapter 28, verse 41, "And thou shalt put them upon the Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him, and shall anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, they may minister unto me in the priest's office. When Aaron and his sons took the priest's office, they had a kind of a ceremony where there was anointing, consecrating, sanctifying. That time, Aaron and his sons, who belonged to the Levi family, were the only ones who could take this priesthood. Now, we come to the New Testament. Let us look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And from the Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of dead, the prince of kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins, his own blood, and has made us kings and the priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the New Testament, Christ loved us and washed us with his own blood. Verse 5 says, made us priests unto God. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. In the New Testament, the scripture says that we are his priesthood. That means we are washed of our sins in his own blood. In other words, we are forgiven and sanctified. And we are consecrated unto God. As a royal priest, you must yield yourself unto him. In Exodus chapter 28 verse 40, we can read about the clothes that Aaron and his sons had to wear as a priest. And for Aaron's son, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and the bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. So their clothes were for glory and for beauty. Likewise, as a priest, when we are consecrate ourselves to the Lord, it becomes the glory and beauty for his sake. When a king is conquered by another king, he surrenders everything to the conqueror. The king of Israel, Ahab, and his land were conquered by Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram. 1 Kings 21. This was what he said. 1 Kings 20, verse 4. The king of Israel answered and said, My Lord, my King, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. If conquered, the king must surrender like this, then how much should we do when we surrender ourselves to him, our Lord? Ittai was captive from Korea's native land. We become a servant of David. Now David was being pursued by his son Absalom, and he took over his father's kingdom. David had become powerless. There was nothing he could offer to this man. So he told Ittai, go back to your place, his place. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 21. The Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord lives, as my lord the king lives, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. when we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, would you think you would be less than what Ittai did for King David? In Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, is Korean way pronunciation, answered and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, oh, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and who will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we would not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. But even if not, this was a dedication three Hebrew young men. Our dedication, should it be less than this? We are the ones who are supposed to be consecrated to Him. The object of a consecration is serving God, praising Him, glorifying Him, doing His will. So whether you preach, witness, or do soul winning, any kind of ministry, our main goal ought to be to please God. Let me illustrate the conclusion in American fable and finish. Maybe you all know about this. One day, a pig and a chicken were discussing different ways to help the needy. The chicken suggested that they serve them breakfast with ham and eggs. As the pig listened, and he said, "Do you mean that I should commit my whole self, but you just laid few eggs? I'm talking about the total commitment. What does the Lord require of us? Whatever you do, give all yourself to Him. May God bless you."